You are listening to weekly messages from Austin Christian Fellowship. For more information about ACF, visit acfellowship.org.
Well, greetings, everybody. Welcome to Austin Christian Fellowship. Happy New Year. Are you guys well? Blessings. Everybody good? Hello to other communities watching online. Let's get this going. If you need a Bible, will you raise your hand? And we have at all of our locations across the city. People coming in their aisles with Bibles in hand. Don't be shy. We're glad to give these away. If you came to church this weekend as a New Year's resolution, make part two of that getting a Bible if you don't have one. Take this Bible and keep it. And oh, by the way, read it. We're glad to give them to you, so feel free to do that. And speaking of communities around the city, let me put on the screen here an email address, russell@acfellowship.org. We are, less than April 1st, which is Easter, we launch our ACF Hutto community live on Sundays. We're very excited about it. They're out there watching at Round Rock right now. And we are asking some of you to go with them for 6 to 9 months, and some of you other communities as well. This usually happens, that we'll send a community out, and they just need, it's kind of all hands on deck when you start a church. And for load in, load out, for camp fun, for greeting, for prayer, for moral support, a lot of bodies really help get a church plant off effectively. And so if you've not been to Hutto lately, it's not the Hutto you grew up with. It's changed, and there's a lot going on out there. They're meeting at the YMCA in Hutto. If you're interested in helping those guys for about six to nine months, they're starting right now in praying, rehearsing, training. They're in their run until April 1st. Contact russell@acfellowship.org. Before you do that, talk to your community pastor, whichever community you're at. Make sure they know what you're doing. Don't just disappear. And I hate for Russell to get in trouble because he steals all the best people from all the communities. So, but think about that. I know some of you are thinking, well, can we do the serve this year? That would be a fun one. It's not that far of a drive, especially on Sunday morning. I've been out there. It's an amazing place. And I hope you'll pray about doing that. I'll be saying this for the next several weeks, so get used to hearing it. Second thing I want to encourage you to do, we'll put a link on the screen here. I have made it my intention now to pretty much try to stay with 3 messages a weekend instead of 1 message 3 times in a weekend. I tried it for a while, and it's really helps me grow. It gives us the chance to get more information out there. It does require you, if you want it, to go and listen for about another hour and 10 or 15 minutes a week to the other 2 messages, which I hope you'll do. If you go to this link right here, I did it before I came to make sure it was easy to do. If you go to this link right here on the screen, you can sign up, and we'll push whatever weekend messages we have for you to your mailbox every Monday. And so we're making it as easy as you can to get them. I know some of you will not want to do this, but if a lot of you will, go sign up and just make 3 messages. Some weekends I'll just do 1, and you'll just get 1 message. Some weekends I'll do 2, you get 2 messages. A lot of weekends like this one, I'm doing 3. And so if you want all of them, go sign up, and we'll push them to you first thing Monday. Our team's worked really hard to get that going, and we're trying to make it as easy for you as we can. Tell your friends about it. I'll tell you more about why I'm doing it as the months unfold, but it's been pretty helpful for me. Okay, let me pray. God, we love you, and we are desperate, desperate, desperate before you right now. It's a new year. Many of us are here with a fresh intention about you, a fresh curiosity about you. Many of us are here coming out of what has been a great holiday season. Others, a very difficult holiday season. And regardless, God, you're the God who meets us where we are. In Jesus' name, I ask that you walk every room of every community right now and be powerful in your Holy Spirit right now in those rooms. Meet every person where they are, first-timers to seasoned ACF veterans. May they feel your presence and your power. Lord, thank you for the Spirit of God's moving in Austin, Texas, and in our church. God, I pray as I will and I would every weekend that you humble me and activate my skills and gifts. Lord, you know what I need from you right now to do this and to do this all weekend. And I pray you provide it. God, I pray for demonstrations of your power. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Lord, I pray that your power will be, or 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Lord, that your power will be demonstrated in a powerful way here. Your message, your Holy Spirit will be real and transactional and transformational. Church, while we all pray together, if you want to just turn your hands over, palms up, every Sunday is Palm Sunday at Austin Christian Fellowship. across all communities. It's 2018. It's the first service of the year. Why don't you ask God to just apprehend you right now? Just invite him to have his way with you. The words of that hymn, have thine own way, seem appropriate right now. Just new year, fresh start. You know, just invite him to take you. There's no risk in that. Father, see us here and have your own way. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 3, a verse you know. On the 16th of this month, a couple weeks from now, less than that, we're going to celebrate our 24th birthday. We'll have completed 24 years as a church, which is absolutely crazy to me. And that means we'll start into our 25th year. And so I'm going to be talking some this month and sprinkling in stuff throughout the coming year on kind of who we are, probably more this year than usual, and trying to look back 20-something years ago and look forward to however many God allows me to have with you and what we are and who we are as a church. And so in thinking about January with you guys, I kind of wanted to just revisit with you some things most of you know. But we'll also knowing we'll have a bunch of new people in our various communities because it's New Year's and people do that. And so I kind of wanted to revisit the things that we think are really important about our church. And so the series, the next to the end of this month, is 8 scriptures every ACFer needs to know. And they'll represent us. And I'll be doing 3 different ones this weekend. And so I hope you'll listen to all 3. But this one right now is one that not just every ACFer needs to know. It's the one every human being on earth needs to know. It's the one that you typically see between the goalposts in football games. Don't ask me why, but it's there. And it's like, if you hold the sign up, nobody knows the verse, it doesn't do any good. But it's there. John chapter 3, verse 16. I don't need to look at it. I'm going to just read it from what I know in my heart. It'll be close to what you have on the screen, probably. For God so loved the world that he gave. You could finish it there. That could be enough. God's a lover, and so God gave. What he gave was his only once born, once begotten son in his image. That whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. That is the summary of the message of the Bible. It's an amazing, I mean, I don't know if it's 100 and something characters or not. It's the Twitter version of the gospel. And I want to talk to you about the gospel in this message right now, because the gospel is first and foremost what we as a church and what we as Christ followers are about. If the word gospel is not familiar to you, it's simply the word that means good news. It literally is the good news. You've heard of good news Bibles and good news ministries and all these things. Good news is the more English concept of that word we call the gospel. To evangelize is to proclaim the good news. It's just to declare something great. And there's no better news, friends, than this thing called the gospel. It is at the heart of Christianity. Now, I need you to remember that and know that, churches across Austin, because Christianity these days can be any number of things that have nothing to do with Christianity or the gospel. And we have to kind of work very hard not to get watered down with all the other things Christianity gets blamed for or associated with or accused of or distracted by. We are, before anything else, people that are greatly loved by God. We as Christians, but also everybody in the world today, they're non-Christians. Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and agnostics and atheists and everything you can think of, they're greatly loved by God. Our difference is we have received the love of God and embraced the reality of Jesus if you're a Christian, and that has made you one of his children. That's God's desire for everybody in the world. That's the gospel. If we don't have the gospel, we don't have a reason to be here. And I mean in our churches. We don't have the gospel. We don't have a reason to gather on weekends and worship and sing as all of you have done. We don't have a reason to wake up and have hope each day because there's nothing outside of this. The gospel is the game changer. And church, we cannot let that ever stray from us. For 24 years now, although we've had our moments, ACF has tried really hard to keep the gospel. When we used to teach membership class, we say we have a one-word theology, Jesus. I mean, that's pretty much who we're about. We would work hard to keep the gospel at the center of our lives and of our message. And so for all of you who are here this weekend, because it's where you go to church and it's part of your routine and you're a Christ follower, I want to remind you of the gospel. And for all of you who are here this weekend because you're starting back or starting up in faith, I want to tell you about the gospel. John 3:16 is not just about the gospel, it is the gospel. John 3:16 doesn't tell you the concepts of the gospel, it tells you the raw reality that there's a God in heaven who loves first. And because he loves first, he gives. And because he gives, we have a chance to respond. And in our response, we get eternal. We don't perish, but we get eternal life. There is no message like it in the world. Put it up against any religion in the world, and you'll find go do and go perform and go evolve or go reincarnate or go roll the dice or go work real hard. And in Christianity, it says receive, and it's love. Just receive the love of God. So let's. I'm just going to do this very quickly, but I do want to just unpack this thing called the gospel for you. First, the source of the gospel. I sensed the need to tell you to write these down. Take a pen out on the neck of the person in front of you. Just jot these down. It will be a great reminder for them. Get their permission first. The source of the gospel is God. It is not man. It's one of the unique distinctives of Christianity. Religions, church, in my book, A Man Who Told Us the Truth, I talk a lot about this. Religions begin with humans. Religion is in response to that wiring in our brain that God put in us, but also that yearning in our spirit and our soul for something beyond us. And so religion is that effort to find God, but always the point of origin, always man looking for something. The gospel of Christianity begins with God, and it's him coming to us. So the originator of this whole thing, in not just creating us, but in pursuing us, is God. I will tell you, friends, that you're not able to pursue God until he first pursues you. I will tell you, you're not able to know God until he first establishes his reality in your life through creation, through nature, through the wind, through the stars at night, through the miracle of a newborn child, through the miracles of nature, and through other things he does to speak to you. You can't even respond to God until he first awakens your soul to his reality. The whole thing begins with God. So the source of this thing we call the gospel is not humanity. We didn't start this. We are recipients of the phone's ringing. He's on the other end. The source of it is God. The motive of it is love. Such an amazing early injection into this concept that God loves. And what is he accused of these days, and what is he written off as? And if you read the talking points about reasons not to believe or not to worship, there's all these things that God's a thug and God's mean, God's angry. The heart of both testaments is this. Hosea paints a picture of God wooing you back like an unfaithful spouse, back to a husband who loves you. The motivation of God reaching out is love. It's a love that is unique to God and impossible without him. It's not the kind of love you have for your children or you have for friends, you have for your family, you even have for your spouse. God can give you that kind of love for them, but it's not the kind of love that is humanly natural. It's a divine, perfect wild, reckless, in your face, watch me work on your behalf kind of love. It's a love that the world, we desperately need to see manifested in relationships. And the people that are waking up in 2018 with hearts heavy because of sin, because of disasters, because of relational conflict, because of bad decisions, because of difficult circumstances in their respective nations, it's a kind of love people desperately need to be aware of. Gosh, what a great story. Hey, let me remind you, God loves you. I had a two-minute encounter with a physician over the holidays as Susie was real sick with the flu, and I went and got some Tamiflu, so I hopefully wouldn't get it. And this lady came in and just said, okay, tell me what's going on. Here's the deal. Okay, I'll be glad to give you some. And on her way out, I said, thank you. You got me in so fast. I appreciate it. She said, I really need to hear that. It's been a really tough week. Physician said that to me. I don't know this. I've never met her before. And I just said, you need to remember you are greatly loved by God to her. It just came out. You are greatly loved. People don't remember that. This is the greatest message in the world. God loves you. It's not this little trite Sunday school for six-year-olds message. I don't know an adult, friends, who doesn't need to hear that right now. God loves you. It's the motive. The object of the gospel is the world. God is the source. Love is the motive. The object, the direct object of the action verb, love, is the world. It's the word cosmos. Our word cosmology comes from it. And it means the planet. And yes, it means the people on the planet, 6 billion of them or however there are now. But it also means the planet in its broken Genesis 3 form. For those of you who are regular ACFers, when I say Genesis 3, and that Genesis 3 reality, you know what I'm talking about. The world as God did not design it. The world in its post-sin fall condition. The world in its rebellion. The world in the curse of sin. The world in all the nastiness. God loves that world. It's not that God loves the world pre-sin, and as we used to be, and longs for the wonderful days when Adam and Eve were in the garden and nothing else was going on. No, he loves us in our rebellious stage. The source is a God. The motive is love. The direct object is a bunch of rebellious people on a broken planet, and it's our fault it's broken. That's the object of his love. So don't tell me that's not love. He doesn't require us to be perfect. Doesn't require us to get our acts together first and get all cleaned up and gussied up to you know look appropriate for God. We can't. So the direct object of that love is not some perfect order that we're going to establish first and he's going to define as acceptable. It's the world in our sin, in the gutter, in the junk, in the rebellion, in the broken marriages, in the diseases that wreak havoc, in the terrorism, in the poverty, in the injustice, in the tyranny, and all of that, he loves us. That's the gospel. The cost of the gospel, the price of the gospel, let's jump ahead now to Good Friday, is Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave. I could also put in there if I wanted to, the action of the gospel is giving. God is the source, his motive is love, he sees a direct object. What does he do? He gives. So that the action that the love of God produced in him was giving. He gave something of himself to deal with the issue the world had. The cost of the gift was his son. Now, friends, we are at the heart right now of the Christian message. We are at the core of the Christian message. If you boil John 3:16 to subject and predicate, if you boil all the Bible, 66 books, down to two words, it is God or he gave. That's the subject predicate of the whole Bible. He gave. It's true about everything. He gave us life. He gave us existence. Now he gives us eternal life and eternal existence. He gives us victory over the devil and victory over sin. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us healing. It's the story of the gospel. He gives. The gods of Romans and gods of mythology and the gods of religions, they take, they require, they demand. God gives. But you need to understand the cost. This is not without cost. Jesus, he gave. The wording in Scripture is very precise. It's unique to John. My ESV simply says his only. That's not strong enough in English. It's only as in unique. You know, some of you King Jamesers out there, I'm sorry, the King James translation of the Bible that existed a long time ago, all of us grew up on it. It had a lot of these and thou. Some of you young people have no idea what the King James is. Anyway. It says only begotten, once begotten. It's only means unique. This fully God, fully human being that checked his fully God for 33 years and lived as a human without divine trump cards to play. He never ceased being God. He just thought, I'm gonna be what humans were meant to be. I can't cheat. I'm going to use my humanity. The cost of the gospel was that. Not that he would just come and live among us, friends, but you know the story. Fast forward to Good Friday. That he would come to a people that he created, come to a nation that had been promised he would come. They would reject him. They'd be offended by his definition of kingdom, being spiritual first before being political, and they execute him for it. Philippians 2 says he died the worst death possible. His descent was from the throne of God to the rejection of men on a cross. That's how far he descended. That was the cost. This is why we in Christianity respond with our best to God. This is why we respond with the best of our finances, not the leftovers of our finances. The best of our time, not the leftovers of our time. The best of our heart and worship. That we have all that we have is yours because what did he give for us? He gave us the Son. We can't match that. We can't ever repay that. But we can respond in worship to it. We can respond in humility. The cost of this thing that brings us our freedom, that us to our privilege to be called children of God, was none other than the Son of God. I remember the first time I really understood John 3:16 was December 11th, 1986, when my son was born. My first child was born. He was a son. Named him after me. And seeing that little, 8-pound kid, suddenly, I understood John 3:16. Because I didn't know this guy. I didn't know anything about this kid yet. Susie and I had a child, and I realized I wouldn't give this, my fatherly instincts, which I didn't know I had, kicked in when he's an hour old. And there's no way you give your child for anybody. And suddenly, I got John 3:16. God did. And if you're listening to me in one of our communities right now, wondering if God loves you, let me make it very specific. He gave his son for you. You're not the exception. You're not the escape clause or the yeah, but. I gave my son for you, except these people who committed these sins these many times. No. It's universal. He gave his son to the world, and you're part of it. The condition of the gospel is belief. This is your part. Now, you can't believe if God doesn't equip it in you. If God doesn't awaken it in you, and he does, but if God doesn't awaken it in you, you can't respond. You're not peers. God has to start. God has to awaken a dead spirit even to realize it's dead and needs Christ. And he does. The Holy Spirit does that. He convicts the world of sin. He makes his name known. He proclaims through the universe that he is God, and we're to respond to him. But the deal on your part is belief. It's faith. The just will live by... so weak. Really? Okay, I don't know what everybody else did. Other communities, 4 points, failed that one big time. Y'all know this. It's one of the most important verses of Scripture. We talk about it all the time. The righteous, the just, live by what? Faith, as opposed to sight. To believe in Jesus is not just to think, yeah, I believe as a guy who lived 33 years on earth 2,000 years ago and had some following and he claimed to be the Son. Everybody believes that. Well, actually, everybody doesn't believe that, but that's not the bar. The belief is the kind of belief you demonstrated when you walked into whatever room you're in right now and you sat down. You put trust in that chair. You didn't think twice about it. That's belief. It's dependency. It's contact. It's weightiness. It's you better hold me up or I'm going down. That's belief. It is surrender. It is not this mental acquiescence that something happened that's really great and makes wonderful Easter and Christmas stories. It is, I place my life in your hands, belief. Because it requires faith, because you can't see Jesus, you can't see God, you can't prove him. And because of the Genesis 3 reality, we have to move by faith. Adam and Eve didn't need faith. We need faith. We can't see God. That's why faith is so important. You cannot be saved without faith. You cannot please God, Hebrews 11:6, without faith. Faith is the whole deal. But you have it. It's in you. Now you can suppress it and you can deny it and you can push it down. Romans 1 says we push down faith and deny God. You have to push it down in order to deny God. It's there. Let it loose. It's not illogical. It's not irrational. It's not irresponsible to believe. Let it out. The condition of the gospel is your faith. Not being born into a Christian home. Not going to church, not having Christian friends, not having some belief in some mystical deal. It is an acquiescence, a yielding to, a dependency on this name, this person, Jesus. That's the heart of the gospel. And in every community right now this weekend, because some of you are here for the first time, I ask that if you have not done that, you do it like right now. That you before this service is over, get on your knees or go find one of the prayer leaders or go find your respective CP or find somebody in the worship team or find a greeter and say, walk me through this belief process. I'm ready to acquiesce. I'm ready to surrender. I want to give my life, heart, soul, and everything else to this Jesus that was the cost of the gospel. God's cost is Jesus. Your cost is you, your belief. It's why we started Austin Christian Fellowship 24 years ago. At the time ACF started, the city of Austin, if you moved here in the last 25 years, you would not recognize it besides traffic. We don't recognize it now because of traffic. But the city was about 17% churched, which means it was 80-something percent unchurched. Most of the churches in the city did not get along. And in the last 25 years, God has done a miraculous healing in our city and so many amazing churches, ACF notwithstanding. Some amazing churches have popped up and some other churches that have been here have really found life and vigor. And there's a lot of love and unity with pastors. I'll be going out with 100-something pastors later this month to pray with them for 24 hours. I mean, it's just been an amazing awakening. And the church attendance now in the city, as of about 7 years ago, is about 35 or 36.7%. It's doubled. Which is a pretty significant tipping point. UT has gone from zero church attendance to 10% church attendance. Folks, that's revival. That really is. That's amazing. That's in 10 years. That's why we started this church. And that's why so many church planters came to Austin in the 90s and the early 2000s, because they realized Austin was a strategic city. What happens here really does change the world. And it was so godless. And those of you who've moved from wherever and think, God, this is such a crazy town, you should have seen it a while ago. I mean, God's done so much here. It's why I felt led to come back to my hometown and start a church, to be part of that process of giving my life and our lives for the city we love and call home, to know, love, and serve Jesus Christ. It's who we've been for 24 years. The result of the gospel is eternal life. What part of this is there not to like? The fruit, the payoff of your faith is life eternal. In John chapter 1, the writer John distinguishes, he says, in him everything was made. God created everything. He says, in Jesus, there's life. He says, there's a difference between existing and living. Everybody's got existence. We lost living in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve sinned. We got existence. We lost that spiritual life that God describes. We got it back when we're born again, Jesus told Nicodemus. And so he says, in God, everything exists, but only in Jesus, through God, in faith in Christ, do you have life. There's a difference between existing and living. Some of you listening to me, you understand existence, but that craving you have for something more is that spirit in you yearning to be made alive again by the Spirit of God. That's life. What God promises is life eternal. That the short, most miserable part of it is right now. That what we are created for, what Adam and Eve fumbled away in Genesis 3, is regained on steroids in Revelation 22, where there's no hunger, no thirst, no pain, no sorrow, no death, no aging, no arthritis, no Alzheimer's, no murder, no terrorism, no poverty, no tyranny, no fear. That's where we go in life eternal. That's the payout on your belief. That's what we get promised. And the down payment of that, the scripture says, is the Holy Spirit in you. He's this taste of what's coming. Still inhibited because we're in flesh and sin, but when this body gets shed, we're fully alive then. So this God gives his son. What he asks in response is your belief in his son, your surrender, your worship of his son. What he gives you in response to your worship is life that goes on, and life, not existence, not robotic, life, full life that you cannot experience on this side of heaven. You can get taste of it, but you can't really get your brain around it until you're there. Life into eternity, that's what he promises. Tell me what there is about that you don't like. That's not the most. Why do we apologize for the gospel? Have you ever heard a greater message in your life, friends? We have a God who's a lover who gives us, the broken world, the best he has, his son. We have a God who gives. We don't have a God who demands and say, pay up. He's not a tyrannical ruler that says, you got to pay first me and then I'll let you have whatever. He's a giver from the very beginning. We don't know how to give but for him. He gives the best he has and says, worship, honor appropriately my dead, buried, resurrected, exalted son. Honor him, and I'll give you life. I don't understand what there is not to like about that. That's the gospel. That's man, here's the understatement of the year. That's the good news. That's the good news. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I love this verse. I pray for Will before I come speak to you. I pray this verse. Lord, help me not to be ashamed of your gospel. It is the power. It is. It doesn't contain or point you to. It is the power of God that brings salvation. It is the power. It is that which blows up strongholds and sets captives free. And I've had the pleasure for 20-something years, longer than that, if you count my full ministry run and my time as a Christian, but just in ACF, I've had the pleasure for almost 2.5 decades now of watching people just like you have their chains fall off and have addictions be broken, and sins forgiven, and healing, and that which was out of control and reckless become clothed in his or her right mind, seated at Jesus' feet by the power of the gospel. Friends, that's as close as I can ever get to explain to you what we are about as a church. It will not stray from that. We give our money for communicating that. We ask you to go, not just in Austin, Texas and across the street, but around the world. We are, for obvious reasons, sold on that. But more important than that, it is the message that will change your life forever. It's true. And if you will show an inch of faith, an ounce of faith, God will respond with waves and waves and waves of love. Just take a step toward him. Take a step toward him right now, this service, while you're here, take a step toward God. And John 1 says, you'll be on a beach and you'll get hit by this wave of grace that's been the most breathtaking, refreshing thing you've ever experienced. And you're like, all your wildest dreams and ideas and thoughts and hopes just got fulfilled in that wave of grace. And before you can utter a wow, you get hit by the next one. And then that's how God responds. Welcome to the gospel.